College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Trey Johnson, who is a potential top five pick, Texas guard, he openly said this in his interview to me. He said it on my podcast, and an interview will air probably next week. I have multiple sources telling me the Celtics also interviewed Cooper Flagg. Now, this does not mean they're going to trade up into the top 10, but I do think it's interesting, at least, the way it works at the draft combine. Teams can interview up to 13 players, and they rank the players that they most want to interview. This would mean that they had Cooper Flagg, Trey Johnson, guys like that ranked high to get the opportunity to interview them. And the Trey Johnson one in particular is interesting to me because, hey, like, he's one of the best shooters in the draft. He's going to go somewhere in like the 4 to 9 range. If Boston were to really retool this offseason, you know, Al Horford's going to be a free agent. Kristaps Porzingis is old. Jrue Holiday is old. And Jaylen Brown's value may be as high as it has ever been. I just think it's interesting the Celtics have made it a point to interview these guys.
Kevin O'Connor on the Kevin O'Connor Show's podcast. They're interviewing multiple players that are expected to go high in the draft. Cooper Flagg is the one that's going to dominate. But I think for the purposes of this discussion, don't forget about Trey Johnson as well. Flagg is much more interesting. They're looking at guys high in the draft and meeting with guys high in the draft. I didn't realize this. You only have 13 interviews at the combine.
Yeah, it seems like an odd number and maybe too few. What, they don't have time to interview some more guys?
That honestly doesn't feel like it.
Seems pretty quick. They're picking 28th, and then they have, I forget what trade it's from, but they have a very high second round pick. And the only reason I bring that up is, can you trade 28 and 32 and get into like the high 20s? Probably, but you're not getting any of those guys. Obviously Flagg, but even the other guys are top 10 picks, top 5, depending on how it all shakes out. Like, if you're going to get Trey Johnson, for example, you need to have a big trade somewhere.
Yeah,
in there.
I would say for sure a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
And if you really want him, yeah, you probably need to be like top 5.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I don't know. That's interesting to me that they're meeting with those players, and it makes you wonder. I think Jaylen Brown's back next year. I want Jaylen Brown back on this team next year, and I think they can be pretty good with Jaylen on the team. You know, 4 or 5 seed in the East. My goal for them would be try to win a round. I think that'd be a pretty successful year. I think you can do all that with Jaylen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're meeting with Cooper Flagg, then I might need to stand down on that. Like, maybe they're thinking way bigger and much bigger shakeup, and I scolded the callers like Giannis was scolding the media. After getting knocked out a couple of years ago, I was like, what, you guys want to blow it up and go for Cooper Flagg?
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'd fully agree with it, but that might really be in the cards. And I'm surprised to sit here and say that today. That might really truly be in the cards. I just can't see Dallas doing it.
So I think it's only in the cards because of Dallas, too. Like, I think Dallas is such a perfect storm of stupidity. Like, when you look at, they traded Luka Doncic. They never should have traded Luka. Luka just made it to the NBA Finals. Then they traded him for a guy much older than him and more injury prone. And so they pair up Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. And that is why any other team that got the number one pick in this particular draft would just run up to the podium, draft Cooper Flagg, and then just, you know, wait for the championships, right? Like, this, we got this guy, we're good to go. This team, I feel like, could maybe go another way because they could probably trade that pick for Giannis or for Devin Booker, or maybe even Jaylen Brown. And any of those three guys line up with the Kyrie Anthony Davis window, which is a shorter window, which you signed up for. You traded a mid-20s superstar for a guy already in his 30s, and you convinced yourself that was the right play, and you have two older guys. By the time Cooper Flagg really hits his prime, Kyrie and Davis either going to be out of the league or they're going to be, you know, certainly on the back end of it. So if they're trying to maximize next year's championship window and the year after that, they might trade Cooper Flagg. And
so,
could the Celtics be that team?
Here's what occurred to me as we were talking about this earlier today. I don't think Nico Harrison would do it. I know what you're saying, Keith. He's a moron and he's capable of anything. Fair.
Yeah.
But I just think you got your get out of jail free card. You got your job security. You have Cooper Flagg, where now people are ready to forgive. If Cooper Flagg can play, people will be ready to forgive you on some level. Okay. So you got that draft pick now. I personally can't see him trading it. But what if it's not his call? Who'd Kyrie learn from in Cleveland, Keith?
LeBron James.
Who runs the show wherever LeBron goes?
Oh, Rich Paul?
No. LeBron. So what if Kyrie's running the show there?
Yeah, possible. They re-signed him shockingly a couple years ago.
What if it's all up to Kyrie? Yeah. And Kyrie goes, no, I want Anthony Davis. I don't want to play with Luka anymore. And no, I want to try to win right now. JB's my guy. I want Jaylen Brown. Like, he's got a connection to Nico Harrison going back to Nike. Not that either one's at Nike anymore. But, okay. Like,
oh, it wouldn't be the first time.
What if that's what's going on?
Yeah. You look at all these guys that have – some of these guys that early on bounce around the league, like – good example in the West finals coming up. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was traded after his rookie year to set up a super team. Julius Randle was traded a couple of times, but once even by the team to sort of set up another super team. So those guys were sort of like kicked out of town. And that was after they even played in the league. And maybe it's a little bit like a new car where your value goes down the second that you play. But trading Shai Gilgeous-Alexander after 1 year and then seeing what he turns into, you could see a team trading away a draft pick before he even takes the floor when you know you're getting a top 10 player in return. In the case of Brown, maybe top 15 player in return to pair up with those two guys. Like, it's so specific to the Mavericks why this might happen, why this could take place. Because anybody else, like the Spurs get it, oh, they'll just pair Flagg and Wembanyama up, and that's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, like Charlotte, they pair him up with LaMelo. Utah, they'll center their whole thing around. Like, everybody else, it's a no-brainer. Dallas,
given the roster construction,
plus all the big announcement is like they're not trading it. Like, okay, that happens a lot. So I don't know how many times teams have gotten the first pick and then immediately said they were trading it.
I still wouldn't wager on it, but okay. What if it's Kyrie running?
I had to call Bron.
Yeah, he did.
He did call Bron.
He sure did.
He's attempted to put super teams together before, and he and Jaylen are close. And maybe does Jaylen's torn meniscus, does that impact the Celtics' ability to move him? Does that impact their interest in moving him, knowing he's been dealing with this, and they're like, hey, it's time to get out with this guy? Like, is that injury looming over any of this?
It sounds like he'll be back for next season, or the start of next season.
He should be, based on every timeline I've seen. No surgery, obviously.
Yeah.
But even if he does a repair or a replacement surgery, any of those scenarios, he should be back for the start of next year.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think... You know, if you fast forward to second half of next season and the playoff run, you know, Brown, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie Irving, out of those three guys, who would you feel the most confident about health-wise? It might actually be Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, maybe.
So I think they would. I mean, the Nets signed Kevin Durant in the year in which he wasn't even going to play. They paid him a full max to rehab.
Point. It's a good point.
So I think the upside of it, I don't think it'd be
not ideal that you're trading for a guy who's not, he needs to do some rehab and maybe even a surgery, but if he's going to be there game one, I don't think people are going to be bothered by that. Interesting text here. Where is it? Kyrie hated playing with a young Jaylen and Tatum. He's going to really hate Cooper Flagg.
He might.
That's a fair point.
He might. Which is funny. Now
I thought that text was going to say he hated young Jaylen Brown. Why would he want to play with Jaylen?
Those guys love each other.
No, they're good now. Good point. He hated playing with the young kids in Boston.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to want to do that.
Good point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still don't think you're going
to
get him.
But look, it's starting to make a little bit of sense.
Okay.
Or maybe a lot of bit of sense.
Here's what doesn't make sense. They didn't just meet with Cooper Flagg for nothing.
And from the Celtics side of it.
Yes. And if you want to tell me that, oh, well, he's a local kid and they're just whatever, they're drafting 28 and so they're going to burn an interview. Okay, fine. Explain the Trey Johnson one to me. Why are they meeting with multiple guys high in the draft? They're not just burning these picks and wasting their time. They're doing it for a reason.
I think there might be something to do with, all right, if Dallas does open this up, they start reaching out sneaky to all the GMs around the league, like, you know what? We're not trading it. But if we did, what's your best offer?
Yeah, give me your best offer.
The Celtics have to be taking the approach of anything. To quote Kevin Garnett, anything is possible this offseason for the Celtics. I mean, everybody would be in discussion.
Nico Harrison, classically, loves to just call around and get the best he can for all of his assets. I mean, that's him to a T.
Well, that's true. I guess you could just call him right now and be like, hey, do we want the number one pick? He's like, sure, what do you want? I'll do it. I got to try and trade anything in 2 months. I got to trade something.
So if Dallas calls you and they offer you the number one pick, Cooper Flagg, for Jaylen Brown, you're doing it?
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
And I
didn't want to turn this into
happen,
a,
but I'm doing it.
I didn't want to turn this into a trade Jaylen Brown offseason for 6 of the last 7 years, but for that one specific trade, yeah, I would do that.
For 1,001 for me, I would do that. That's the 1,001st time
now,
I've traded Jaylen Brown.
But because of the drop-off, I think, in the draft, and you know, some draft experts might tell you that it's a little bit better, but it's clearly Cooper Flagg than everybody else. If the Spurs called and were like, hey, the number 2 pick for Jaylen Brown, I would say no.
Right.
Right, so it's very specific to one player.
I'm going
to
be honest, I don't get their fascination with Trey Johnson, quite frankly.
Spurs?
No, the Celtics.
Oh, the Celtics.
I don't get what they're all out of their minds about. So, okay, we would both do it if Dallas – I don't think Dallas is going to call. But if Dallas calls and says, here's the number one pick, we want Jaylen Brown, I'd do it.
I got a good Trey Johnson comp for you, for people who don't know Trey Johnson.
Give me that quick, and then I want to give you the Bill Simmons trade again.
Nick Young. Remember Nick Young?
Yeah.
Swaggy P, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
My favorite meme of
him. He went out with Iggy Azalea?
Yeah, he did.
Cheated on her. D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
Kind of ratted him out.
He definitely ratted him out. No bro code there.
No.
Whatsoever.
Not at all.
No. But okay, we would do the Cooper Flagg trade. Would we do this Bill Simmons trade scenario? He laid this out with Ryan Russillo on the Bill Simmons podcast.
You know, like looking at Houston, if Houston was going to say, we'll take Jalen and Drew and we'll give you Van Vliet back and Jabari and Eason, and we'll give you the 10th pick, and you know, you'll save like $20 million. We can make it work with our cap, and that gets you under the second apron right there and gets you a rebuild. I think they would have to think about deals like that. And then if you're Houston and you can get Jaylen and Drew in the same trade and give up assets, but not touch Thompson and not touch Şengün, and you know, keep enough going.
So I'm not doing that. So here's how I think.
How would they only save $20 million on that trade? I'm trying to do the math on that.
Van Vliet makes a lot of money.
How would they only save $20 million? That's not even saving enough.
I think so you're not. So I understand they need to get rid of the, or they need to get below the second apron. I understand that. This is how I think they need to thread the needle. You need to be both competitive enough next year to, you know, you know, obviously, there's an entertainment factor of it and everybody watching. But also, in year two, you need to be ready to hit the ground running again.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be, hey, Jason Tatum's back and the roster's pretty far away, so it's going to be like another offseason to get ramped up. You need to do whatever it takes to, in 2027, be a contender again. So I don't think removing all those guys makes any sense to me. Holiday, Horford, Porzingis can all go. They can all stay, whatever. But Jaylen Brown needs to be on the team in 2 years. It makes no sense to move on from Brown unless you're getting Cooper Flagg. It makes no sense to trade Brown and get Fred Van Fleet or even Jabari Smith.
Agreed. Like, peel off a piece here or there.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have Jaylen and Holiday and try to be the 4 seed in the East and win around next year as opposed to get back. I like Van Vliet, but get back a bunch of crap from Houston, including the number 10 pick for those guys. That's nowhere near
enough. That's one where, like, that. Maybe not the number 10 pick, but like that pile of players, if you're saving money and you're keeping Brown, then like, okay, fine, you gotta shuffle it around.
Right,
but like trading Brown for nothing.
If it was Porzingis and Drew Holiday.
Yeah. For that,
sure.
You'd be like, okay.
All right, you're like, I guess that's all right. That's not that much better, but I guess that's all right. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But this
Because like, what is Tatum returning to? Like, what is that team gonna look like? That's really should be, and not to like punt on a whole season, but that's really what the question should be.
Well, maybe here's what I'm really starting to wonder. Whenever Tatum comes back, is Jaylen still going to be on the team?
Yeah, and I think
Like, I'm starting to wonder that more than I certainly was last week based on this report from Kevin O'Connor. And I think there's also an interesting element of we see these NBA trades happen all the time, and guys never go for what you think they're going to go for. And start wrapping your head around, you're not going to get basketball value.
They usually go back for 5 first-round picks.
Right.
Like Mikal Bridges?
You're not going to get basketball value for Drew Holiday or Porzingis. The whole reason you're trading them is because you're in the second apron, and the whole league knows you need to shave salary. You're not going to get good basketball value for those guys. That's not why you're doing the trade. You're doing the trade to become cap compliant and under the second apron and save your new owner a bunch of money. You're not doing it for basketball reasons, so you're not going to get a great basketball trade, which is the shame in all of it. 617-779-7937. Let's go to this is a new take today. Kyle's in Salem. Go ahead, Kyle.
Kyle, can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Gotcha, Kyle.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, listen, I know this might not be a popular opinion, but what do you guys think about trading Tatum?
I wouldn't.
Or Flagg? You wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
because Dallas already has Kyrie out, who's going to be out half the year next year. Take on Tatum. They'll have an amazing roster in 27 with Tatum, Brown. I mean, Tatum, Kyrie, and Davis.
Yeah, we get it. So trade Tatum.
I get it. So now they're waiting a whole nother year. So now they would be...
Dallas's.
This is like when Kyrie was in Brooklyn waiting for Durant.
Yeah.
So now Kyrie would be waiting for Tatum for another whole year.
All those guys get another year older.
So then Dallas gets to watch Cooper Flagg play in Boston for a whole year while Tatum just rehabs his Achilles. I don't think they're doing that. I'm not doing that either. Because I do think Tatum has, whatever, comes back at, what, 28? Like, I still think he could have 5-6 all-star type seasons left in him.
Agreed. I said last week, Tatum may never be the same player ever again, meaning a first-team All-NBA guy, but that's like super high ceiling. He could be an all-star. He can come back and be a
top 10 player in the league.
Yeah, he can be back. Yeah. Exactly. Is he going to be a top 5 player again? I wouldn't bet on that. But can he be a top 10, 15 player in the league and make perennial all-star? Like, I definitely think that, and I think Tatum is worth waiting for in that scenario. I mean, Cooper Flagg might be a generational prospect. He might be.
Yeah.
But if that works out, he's Tatum, right?
Yeah, you're hoping he is.
That's what you hope.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough pill to swallow for the new owner where you're like, you're trying to save money, and then you're looking at your team payroll, and you're like, well, we have like $60 million dedicated to a guy that won't even play next year, but I'm not trading him.
It's quite a bit. Who do we put the most blame on for losing Game 6?
I look at the backcourt because of how bad they were. I mean, and also the big swing from Derek White's game 5 to Derek White's game 6. Jrue Holiday, hey, it's another elimination game. We talk about the importance of Jrue Holiday when he joined the team a year ago. Up and down throughout the season, turned it on a little bit in the playoffs, a little bit, but I thought those guys were particularly bad. Derek White went from 34 points leading the team in game 5 to 8 points in a minus 45. He was a minus 45 when he was on the floor. So it wasn't like, the shot was off, but they really had Jalen Brunson in a straitjacket. No. Brunson was doing just fine. So I thought the two guards, I was looking for them to step up, and they did the opposite of that.
So they were horrible. I mean, really, there's a lot of options.
Nobody was good.
That you could go with. I would look at Jalen, and we applauded him for his game 5. The ball movement, 12 assists against 2 turnovers. It was impressive. I thought he was passing on... Well, looks to get teammates involved and specifically passing on 3-pointers in that game, and the Celtics won going away. And I correlated the two. I thought there was a chance they matched up better with the Knicks. Not a better team, but I thought there was a chance they matched up better with the Knicks without Tatum than with him. And I was wrong about that. But Jalen just came crashing down to earth. For a long stretch, he was the only guy even making shots in game 6. But the turnovers were... They were killers.
He did have 7 turnovers.
6 assists against 7 turnovers. Like, that's...
I feel like they scored on all of those, too.
That's the nightmare Jaylen Brown playoff elimination game we've gone through before. We were talking about his game 7 a couple years ago against Miami, where they came back from a 3-0 deficit. Derek White hit the buzzer beater in game 6. And then, you know, he's out there and turning it over like crazy in that game 7, and they lose while Tatum's hobbling around on a bad ankle. This was like that. So I would look at Jalen. If Tatum had a game like that, I'd be criticizing Tatum. I would look at Jalen as the guy who deserves the most blame. Neither you or I, Keith, are putting it on Mazzulla today. We both think he's back. I would bring him back. He goes in the next year on watch. Like, his seat's a little warm going into next year. I acknowledge it, but I wouldn't fire him. A lot of people today are angry at Mazzulla and want him out.
Yeah, they're pissed. And I mean, I get it. He, you win the title, then the next year you lose in the second round. And I'm not blaming injuries, because Tatum, you played 4 full games with him and you were down 3-1. So I had more questions earlier in the series with Mazzulla, some of the close losses, more so than the most recent blowout loss. But I think he's like at least more on our radar than he had been. Right, year 1 there was a lot of like, hey, you know, you have timeouts, and hey, you forgot to play Derek White in the 4th quarter, and like there were issues there. Last year they kind of cruised. It was like the Red Sox in 2018, just kind of cruised, not a ton of adversity. And then this year I feel like there were more times where you're like, what is Mazzulla doing now? So I do think he's back next year. I'm not running him out of town after one bad year, but we know that is not a long shelf life. In the NBA, the years of guys just being the head coach for like a dozen years is not really a thing anymore.
We went through them. Mike Malone, Frank Vogel, Budenholzer. Like, we've gone Nick through Nurse. All these names. Yep. Nick Nurse, another one. So, yeah, he deserves next year. And he has some job security with this Tatum injury, I think.
Well, you know what? I thought so too. And because we were saying, all right, if you don't win the title this year, but or say next year, you don't have Tatum. And you and I are like, if you win a round, that's really successful. And if you are a top six, like that's a good sign. You avoid the play-in game. Well, what if it's not that?
No, so I agree. What if they're the 10 seed and they're
below
the,
500, yeah, 10 and, seed, and they're in the play-in for their lives?
He could lose his job.
Yeah,
I
at
wouldn't,
that point.
I wouldn't completely let him off the hook for that.
That's assuming if you have full season Jaylen Brown, Derek White. Let's just start there. Who knows what the rest of the roster will look like. That's still two guys that a lot of teams would want. You have one former All-NBA player. You got another Olympian. Like that would be that's a good starting place anyway for a team to win 45 games. Like we're not looking at the moon here.
Right.
But yeah, if you go way below that, then
you're looking
in the hot seat.
You're looking at him. So I can't get that Scal comment out of my head where it's like they got into bad habits and they cheated the game. And I just wonder if that's ominous in any way for Missoula. But then I go, well, whose call would that be? Is that Brad Stevens' call? Because I think Brad Stevens is on board with bombs away three-point attempts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Missoula obviously is on board with that approach and executes it and champions it. But I think it goes way above Joe Missoula to Brad Stevens and Mike Zarin and guys like this, and I think they believe in that. And so why are they going to hold their coach accountable if they believe in it? 617-779-7937. That's how you jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock live from Fenway Park, I've been told. I think they're going to have some of Brad Stevens today, live press conference at 2:30. So stay tuned for it. We got the clip du jour, and right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
And here comes the Grab Bag. Grab, grab bag, 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 grab, grab bag.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Red Sox dropped 2 of 3 in their weekend series with the Braves after yesterday's 10-4 loss at Fenway. Brian Bayo got the loss, giving up 7 runs on 10 hits and 4 1/3 innings. All 4 Sox runs came off a Raffy Devers grand slam in the bottom of the third. It's Devers' 9th home run of the season. Red Sox homestand continues tonight with game 1 of a 3-game series with the Mets. First pitch is at 6:45. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Dobbins will get the start for the Sox in the series opener against the Mets' Kodai Senga. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Christian Arcan beginning at 5:45. The conference finals in the NBA and the NHL begins this week. In the NBA, game 1 in the Western Conference Finals between the Thunder and Timberwolves is tomorrow night. Game 1 in the Eastern Conference Finals between the Pacers and the Knicks is Wednesday night. In the NHL, the Panthers will face the Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Finals beginning tomorrow. On Wednesday night, it's game 1 of the Western Conference Finals between the Oilers and the Stars. And Scottie Scheffler is the winner at the PGA Championship. Scheffler finished the tournament shooting 11 under, earning his 3rd career major championship. Lots of things to celebrate this month, from Mother's Day to Memorial Day, and finding money you didn't even know you had. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks or refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It's a secure website. It takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe. And Grab Bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. We are down to the final four in both the NBA and the NHL. In the NBA, another blowout elimination game, Jones, as the Thunder blew out the Nuggets 125-93.
I actually didn't realize that game started as early as it did yesterday. Yeah. I turned it on, and the Thunder were just destroying them.
A lot of mean memes about Russell Westbrook and Jamal Murray. There's a lot of stuff. If you're those guys, maybe stay off the internet for a few days. Didn't go great, but we are now on to Thunder Wolves.
Next couple of days, there's going to be a lot of beer, probably.
That's my guy. Nikola Jokic.
Hey, he's going to douse himself in beer after the elimination.
Jokic, Doncic, Keefe.
They all
they love basketball and beers. These guys, they get it. They do. The two best players in the league just love slamming beers.
Yeah.
Maybe everybody else used to cool it with some of these CrossFit routines.
Maybe. I mean, maybe it's part of the reason Doncic isn't in Dallas anymore, but yeah.
No, and Jokic has not been able to win another title after the first one, but he did win a title.
Yeah,
and he's still the best player in the league.
He's been out in the second round 2 years in a row, but yeah. No, look, I
how do you feel about Thunderwolves?
I don't mind that line, but Thunderwolves.
Thunderwolves.
Yeah, I'm going Thunder there.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Right?
They got a little scared, though. I mean, the Nuggets took them 7, look, and the T-Wolves are probably better.
The Thunder have been shaky. I'm telling you, even in their sweep against Memphis, shaky. This was a shaky series.
T-Wolves, though.
I'm still taking them over the Wolves.
T-Wolves beat the Lakers in 5 and the Warriors in 5. Now, I know they had no Curry, so I guess that's not as impressive, but they've kind of cruised right along here. And when you look at the Final Four, we already knew, like, LeBron and Curry and Durant, clearly. Like, those guys weren't on great teams. Maybe the Lakers had a chance after the trade. But look at the four best players remaining. You have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, and Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
It's a changing of the guard here.
A little bit of a changing of the guard, for sure.
You've already said you're picking the so you got Thunder, Knicks. I'm going Thunder Pacers.
Okay. Thunder Finals. Pacers and Thunder Knicks. Okay.
Grabby bag. Where are you? You're on Jones and Keefe. Yeah.
That's a listener's kid. That's not my kid.
Oh, I was going to ask. Is that Cece? No.
No, that's not Cece. Oh. Yeah, we got to get her back in the lab. She recorded one a couple years ago. NHL Final Four. Stars, Oilers, Panthers, Hurricanes. So with the Maple Leafs getting bounced in 7 to Brad Marchand, who's now undefeated in Game 7s against the Maple Leafs.
Does not lose to the Leafs. He's lost plenty of Game 7s. It's not to them.
But no one seeds in the Final Four in the NHL.
So I'm
kind of on brand, right?
I'm going Florida, Edmonton. That's going to be your Stanley Cup final.
Got a rematch?
Yes.
I'm going Carolina, Edmonton.
Nice. Okay, very very similar.
That's what I'm going with.
Breakdown that we have in both the NBA and NHL. Okay, good.
That's what I'm going with. Nice. Yep.
Grab bag.
Red Sox losers for not sending me a jersey. No, they lost 2 out of 3 over the weekend, and they are back at it tonight at Fenway Park. First of 3 against the first place New York Mets. Kodai Senga on the mound for the Mets tonight. 4-2 with a 1.02 ERA.
Do you think that goes up or down tonight?
Down.
I think it might go down. Yeah,
I think it's going to go down. Yeah. Hunter Dobbins throwing the ball well.
Yeah.
Going for the Sox.
I like him better than Hauk. I like him better than Bayo.
6:45 first pitch at Fenway. So a 5:45 pregame here on WEEI. Red Sox 2 games below 500. Yeah.
Once there was this grab bag.
Good. PGA Championship over the weekend. Jones, your guy, Scottie Scheffler.
Yes.
With a big big win. We had a caller earlier today, very excited about it. He wasn't great Thursday, Friday. Really came on strong here on the weekend.
Yeah, no, Mark and Medford was very fired up about the Scottie Scheffler win. He's
a young gun.
He's come through in the PGA. Yep. He's won at the Masters multiple times. When he wins in these tournaments, he tends to win going away, which speaks to his dominance.
He's halfway to the slam.
You know, you look at some of the other guys who have won, you know, multiple tournaments on the PGA. There are a lot of multi-time champions that are out there.
Is that right?
But, you know, if he's the guy who's going to chase down Tiger, he seems like the best guy in the group to potentially do that, if anybody's going to do that. But we've said that about a lot of guys. Said it about Spieth. We said it about Koepka. We said it about a lot of guys.
What happened to Spieth?
Is he still
out there?
I usually bet on him every year at the Masters. It doesn't go so hot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Rich. Here we go. Background music, gonna give it away. Abra, abra, cadabra. Let Jones and Keefe reach out and grab bag ya. Jones and Keefe heat up, they can't cool down. The grab bag keeps spinning round and round.
Like a fine wine, that one. Speaking of golf, Jones, tomorrow, the match.
Okay, good.
Tomorrow. What do you mean more golf?
I was like, more golf? What else we got? Right.
The match at high noon tomorrow. It'll be Greg Hill versus Chris Scheim. one-on-one. I don't know if they're doing like a skins game.
Yeah, did Shime take a practice round today? Why wasn't he here? What was he doing?
I don't know, maybe mentally preparing.
He's out hitting them around?
So they're playing...
on the driving range?
Head-to-head.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Mano a mano.
9 holes.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about that.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, are they both big golfers or are they not? I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, oh, you didn't
like
nine.
For me, I'd be like, great, 9, fine. Every third hole stop and get a beer?
Yeah.
But for these guys... But here's the thing. If you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube tomorrow, I've been told, now this is subject to change as everything is.
I would say that's a safe assumption, but yeah.
I've been told that we are going to be able to go live, have video of them on the course. They won't be able to hear us, but we can do live commentary.
So we're not going to be at the event. Because there was some talk we were going to be at the event. That's not happening.
No, that ship has sailed.
But we can go on Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
We can go live and check in on the match.
Yeah.
Greg Hill v. Chris Scheim.
Right.
And see them woofing hot dogs and
pretty much
driving their golf carts on the green and whatever else they're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, good. Sure. That'll be good to check in on. Good.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Listening to Jones and Keefe sure does help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody grabs your bag. And they always grab your bag. You want to be where you can see. Your troubles are all a drag. You want to go where everybody grabs your bag.
The WNBA tipped off their season, and no better way to do it than Caitlin Clark v. Angel Reese.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark had a triple-double, mm-hmm. won Portnoy a ton of money. He was there courtside.
Oh, did he make a lot of money off that?
Yeah, he bet like... $20,000 on her to get a triple double, and he won like $350,000.
Man, yeah, not bad.
That's gonna be a nice way to live. Yeah,
yeah,
not bad. Caitlin Clark was great. However, apparently there was a whole mess going on in Indiana.
Yeah,
apparently Angel Reese was hearing some horrible things.
I mean,
serious.
That goes without saying. Obviously, yeah. You know, I can't imagine that fan base would be at all. A little over the top in their reaction. Who would ever have seen that coming? But not to kick at the hornet's nest of those cretins.
Try not to.
But when it comes to the foul, what'd you think of the foul that she had on Angel Reese?
A nothing foul.
I think she knew what she was doing.
Maybe.
I think Caitlin Clark knew what she was doing.
I didn't think it was malicious. I think Angel Reese reacted like she was Kurt Rambis. It's like, wasn't that crazy.
I think Caitlin Clark knew what she was doing.
She might have. Although I saw a great tweet, so I don't know who it was, but somebody said... Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese rivalry is so bizarre. It'd be like if Kobe Bryant's biggest rival was Marcin Gortat. Oh, that's pretty good. I mean, Angel Reese is like good, but like Caitlin Clark's like.
She's more of a Gortat?
I guess. I mean, people always show the highlights of her missing layups and stuff. And like, yeah. I think she's more of like a rebounder. Remember, she's like a double-double machine.
Gets a lot of her own rebounds.
She gets all of her own.
Yeah, rebounds. I was going to say. She's real good. Good Moses offensive
Malone.
Rebounder.
On Moses her own. Malone in the Hall of Fame.
On her own misses, yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give me one bourbon. One scotch and one grab bag.
Nick Sirianni signed an extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. Super Bowl helps.
I said this to you off the air. This has to be like a real Missoula situation for those fans.
Yeah, they're
like,
he's our guy.
We won with him, but no one can possibly feel great about that. No. Yeah.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You'd be in paradise and put up a
grab bag.
Let's take a look at the box office from this weekend, Jones. Coming in at number 5, Joe Mazzulla. So you got more time to see it. The Accountant 2.
Oh.
Made $5 million bucks. It's up to $59 million. A Minecraft movie continues to make money. Just under $6 million. It's up to $417.
Wow.
Total gross. People bringing live chickens, the whole nine. Sinners continuing a strong box office. They were third. Thunderbolts was second. And number 1 at the box office, $51 million, Final Destination Bloodlines.
Oh, you said it's not just making money. It's like it's killing getting it. Reviewed quite well.
Oh, Roddy T's and Metacritic through the roof saying it's the best Final Destination ever, which it's got some stiff competition.
Even Lanny's like Lanny, you're going to go see this, right?
Oh, I love the franchise.
Yeah. Okay. And you had trepidation about them even making another one.
Yeah, because the one before it ended so perfectly.
It did. Did it?
Yeah,
I did. I didn't make it that far.
Not to give anything away, but it was like a...
Yeah, they put a nice little bow on it perfectly, and then when you hear this, your immediate reaction is like, what the hell? Why are we doing this? But I'm glad it's getting positive reviews.
People okay. love it. Nice.
People can't get it.
And it's funny, too, because it's like, oh, this is the best one. It's like, they're all kind of the same thing.
Yeah. They're all pretty... You know what you're getting.
Well, yeah. It seems like this one's reviewed better, though. Yeah,
it is.
I wanna grab... Dun, 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 dun. I want to grab bag.
Is Aaron Rodgers still a free agent?
You know what? I missed the news this week. Is he in or is he
yeah,
out?
No, he's a free agent.
Oh, he's still
yeah, he's available in all formats.
I'm a genie in a bag. Baby, come on and let me out.
All right, top NBA performers from yesterday. Was it Alex Caruso? 11 points.
You know what? It might be.
Yeah.
D'ing up Jokic.
Christian Braun, 19 points.
No.
Nikola Jokic, 29-7.
Definitely not.
Jalen
Williams, Alex Caruso,
24-5-7.
It's probably him.
Or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 35-3-4.
Jalen Williams had a good game. Caruso, not good enough overall to give him the player of the day, but I'll go with Jalen Williams.
All right.
EA grab bag. It's in the game.
Who was the best baseball player from yesterday, Jones?
Here not five, Brian Baio.
Here are your five nominees. C.J. Abrams, 3-for-5, 2 dongs.
Ooh.
Will Benson, 3-for-4, 2 dongs.
Okay.
Cody Bellinger, 3-for-3, 1 dong, 6 RBI.
Big night on Sunday Night Baseball, yeah.
Paul Skeens, 8 innings, 1 run, 9 Ks.
Yeah.
And a loss because they don't score any runs for him.
Sure.
Or Merrill Kelly, 2 lady first names. Merrill Kelly, 7 scoreless innings, 11 Ks for the Snakes.
I think you probably heard about that a lot. He's getting a last laugh, though, in these days. Put me down for Bellinger. Let's go with Bellinger.
You want Bellinger?
Big game, yeah.
All right.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, today in honor of the New York Baseball Mets, we have a former Met who also played for the Dodgers and the Cubs. Catcher.
A former?
Two-time All-Star.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Paul Aduga.
No. Broke into the majors in 1990. His final season was 2003. How about this? In 1996, he was an All-Star with the Mets.
Todd Hundley.
He got it.
The Red Sox win.
There we go.
41 bombs.
Wow.
He got his groove back.
Yeah. 41 and one drove in 112 that year. He had 202 career home runs.
What year was that?
96, 97, 96.
What do you think he was up to?
I don't know, just good swings. And just saw the ball well that
chicken,
year.
Push-ups?
Yeah, putting the work in the offseason. Yeah. Wow.
So everything kind of came together.
Todd Hundley had 41 and 120
41
something?
And 112.
112, I'm sorry. I gave him a few extras there. Wow.
And he got finished 18th in the MVP. Nothing to sneeze at.
How do you only finish 18th in the MVP when you put up numbers like that?
As a catcher?
Look at the numbers.
Say it again. Oh, the whole, yeah.
When you look at those years and those, like, MVP
Well, you're like 41, you're like, I guess that's fine. These are I guess he could probably start somewhere.
18th.
Yeah.
He lost out barely to Ken Caminiti, Mike Piazza, Ellis Burks in Colorado, Chipper Jones, Barry Bonds, Andres Galarraga, Gary Sheffield, Brian Jordan, Jeff Bagwell, Steve Finley, John Smoltz, Barry Larkin, Marquise Grissom, Bernard Gilkey.
Nice.
These are all been random
players. What year was this?
96.
96. What are some of the averages?
Oh, the batting averages?
Yeah.
Ellis Burks at like 350 in Colorado, right?
Yeah, 336, yeah. 326. Everybody hit over 300.
Yeah. Now none of the sport hits over 300. The whole leaderboard was 300.
Big 259 with 41 dongs.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's crazy.
Big cat, Andres Galarraga that year, 47 bombs, 150 ribeye steaks, and maybe the craziest stat, 18 steals.
Wow.
Andres Galarraga.
Yeah, they called him the big cat for a reason. Very
not because he was fast.
Very agile.
Because he looked like a cat. Barry Bonds had a 40-40 season and came in fifth.
Wow.
Fifth in the MVP, and he's 40-40.
Well, yeah, and he was doing that clean. That was the impetus for him to go to the other side.
He's like, guys,
I got
this.
I'm putting up 40-40 clean. Let me get on the program.
You got a problem here.
It was not Howard. Howard Johnson was a good early guess.
Howard Johnson was a random baseball player before.
Oh, we have had
We've used Howard Johnson. Hojo.
Yeah, we did have Hojo.
And if your name's Howard Johnson, you stay at the hotel for free. That was always what they said about it.
Very notoriously.
Yeah. Hey, it's me, Howard Johnson. I assume it's free. They're like, yeah, good. Come on in here.
So Todd Huntley.
Enjoy your stay, Howard.
Nice. Random baseball player of the day each and every day in the grab bag here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. That's how you dial up WEEI Afternoons. Yeah, got Hart. Yeah, got Fitzy. Yeah, got Ted. And stay tuned when we come back. It's the Clip du Jour next.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Back on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Kind of zoned out there for a minute. That's on me. I was just enjoying the regionals there by Nick, just spinning the hits back there. Well, it's time now for the topic du jour. You ready for that, Jones?
The clip du jour?
Topic du jour is from Dork. Clip du jour.
What's that again?
Crossing the streams. Well, I'm glad you asked. I need to ask myself. I completely forgot. I am glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. We played that here. And Nick, you probably thought I forgot it, and I didn't. I know exactly what the clip is
all
for
over
today.
It, yeah.
Well, I was a little jealous, a little envious, as we were celebrating on Friday the new City Connect uniforms for the Red Sox. They look like $1 million. They look even better on the field than they did in some of those graphics.
Oh, they look good.
They look great. Andy Hart, Ted Johnson both got jerseys. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry who covers or likes the Red Sox got...
Mentions the Red Sox.
Mentions the Red Sox in passing on like Instagram. They got sent a care package.
Yeah.
Did we? No. Jones, we did not. So I had to go up to the mailroom to look for it. And bobkiss. Here we go. So,
speaking of free, you made a trek up to the mailroom.
I did, sadly. If you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, you'll notice I'm still wearing the same clothes and the same stupid hat as I was before. I'm not wearing a City Connect jersey that was gifted to so many radio hosts, podcast hosts, just general Red Sox fans. Not wearing any of that.
You get nothing.
Went up to the mailroom. I haven't been up to the mailroom in months. How desperate and thirsty I am. So for people who don't know, we're in the basement, so I had to huff it up 4 flights of stairs.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't take the elevator.
It's a haul.
And nothing.
Sick brag, bro.
Terp actually filmed me up there, so you can see the video. I walk in there. There's a lot of different mailboxes. There was one package. There was a package in there.
Nice.
Guess who it was for? I'll give you one guess who that was for.
Oh, Greg.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. The only person who gets anything here.
They had these things. I don't know if you guys saw any of them, but they had like these nice Red Sox boxes that you kind of like would open it up and it would unveil all these goodies inside.
Real nice.
It was like Christmas morning on the inside, all with Red Sox City Connect stuff. And he's like, did we get them? 2 years of doing the pregame show. Do I get one? No. No, I don't. Nothing.
Maybe Arcan, though. Maybe they just they only have so many dog ears for this place.
That's fine. Send him to Arcan.
Yeah.
That's fine. He deserves to have one of those. That'd be a nice little thing. You can wear it during the pregame show.
You're saying they seem to be very generous handing these out.
Yes.
I think that's really the critique.
But not
here.
Generous enough.
No.
Now, is this a specific thing? Like, hey, let's send it not to them? Because that's what it kind of feels like. When you send it to everybody else, it feels like it's a little bit
so
of that.
Not an oversight, a slight.
No. Like, whoa, somebody like stopped the package from being delivered.
Yeah,
like,
how
no,
dare
no,
you?
Whoa. Not those guys. No.
We got to update Keith's piece.
Got a sweatshirt.
We got to do
hat.
We got tears tomorrow. We got to update Keith's piece.
Take a hoodie. They had hoodies. City Connect hoodies. They looked awesome.
I mean, Wiggy brought in more stuff.
I like a hoodie over a jersey without a name and number.
Yeah.
You know, because if they're going to send one, unless it had, like, Keefe 25 on there.
No, see, I don't want my name on it. I just want... I would take that
I
one.
I do not want my name on it.
You want your name on it?
No, I don't not want it.
No, I think because it's the City Connect, I like the green, the brand new green. I'd wear that. I'd wear that twice a week. You have to rip that thing off me. They sent it to a bunch of people that might never wear it again. That's also my criticism.
Are you accusing anybody coming up at 2 o'clock as in that group? No?
It's
no.
Pandering for likes on social media.
Yeah.
It is. I'm gonna get my Instagram videos up.
But seriously, I'll take a hoodie in the biggest size.
I would take a hoodie. Yeah.
He didn't answer about Keith's Beefs though.
What? Do we want to do that tomorrow?
Do we get an update Keith's Beefs?
Put the Pro Shop on there?
Pro Shop. They're up there.
They're out there.
Sox Pro Shop.
We can just add them.
We're in charge of that.
We'll figure out what else to get to with the
devastating.
Tears tomorrow. Tommy Tuesday, Tommy Curran with Patriots. OTAs open to the media tomorrow.
Good question. Did Hogdale get one? You know, I hope so.
The man deserves one.
I didn't notice. I saw on Twitter today he almost lost his Twitter account, he said. I don't know how that happens.
Well, it's got to be for illegally streaming anything. He doesn't even show the highlights. He just shows the ESPN game cast.
Yeah, you think they're good with that?
Yeah, well, maybe, actually.
I don't know.
But anyway.
110 off the bat. Sends it 440 feet. Dead center.
Get him some City Connect.
Yeah, no, he deserves one.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one would be upset about that.
Oh.
So Tommy Tuesday, Tier Tuesday. We got a madness for you tomorrow at 12:45 as well. No crossover today with the guys at Fenway Park, but it would have been brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can go to the Nines Monday through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal, the Crispy Fried Twin Catch with North Atlantic Cod and Crispy Shrimp. Just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the Nines. Stay tuned. WEEI Afternoons. We're back tomorrow at 10 here on WEEI.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.